Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Text 14.
Gopak parasparam vishta.
Gopak parasparam vishta.
Dadik shira kripam bhugvitam bhuvihi.
Dadik shira kripam bhuvihi.
Ashintyo asinchanto vilimpanto.
Asinchanto vilimpanto.
Navanitaischa chikshipuhu.
Navanitaischa chikshipuhu.
Gopak parasparam vishta.
Gopak parasparam vishta.
Dodikshira kritam bubihi.
Dodikshira kritam bubihi.
Ashinchanto vilimpanto.
Ashinchanto vilimpanto.
Navanitaischa chikshipuhu.
Navanitaischa chikshipuhu.
Being so pleased,
being so pleased,
dadi
with curd,
chira
with
condensed milk, grita ambu bihi with water mixed with butter, ashin chantan. Sprinkling.
Vilimpanta.
Smearing.
Navanitaicha.
And with butter.
Chipshipuhu.
They threw on one another. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. In gladness, the coward men enjoyed the great festival by splashing one another's bodies with a mixture of curd, condensed milk, butter, and water. They threw butter on one another and smeared it on one another's bodies. Purport. From this statement, we can understand that 5,000 years ago, not only was there enough milk, butter, and curd to eat, drink, and cook with, but there, when there was a festival, it would be thrown about without restriction. There was no limit to how extensively milk, butter, curd, and other such products were used in human society. Everyone had an ample stock of milk, and by using it in many varied milk preparations, people would keep good health in natural ways, and thus enjoy life in Krishna consciousness. Some are arguing, some vegetarians are arguing that milk products are unhealthy because they also contain animal proteins, and whatever contamination has entered the body of the animal will be transmitted to the milk. So what? Vedic culture, Krishna conscious culture, it's unrestricted in its use of milk products. That doesn't mean that an individual devotee has to overdo it and get sick. It doesn't mean that every time we have an excuse, we start pouring ice cream down each other's backs. There is a proper way to celebrate, and there's going overboard and just becoming raucous. The pure devotees are acting out of spontaneous love. They know how to act properly. Even when they're getting excited and throwing things around, they do it appropriately. A devotee's behavior is always appropriate. Whereas, if we're material conditioned, we have to be careful. Therefore, we have to obey rules and regulations.
We can't just throw everything around unrestrictedly in the same way as the those devotees who have spontaneous love can do. We have to keep things in their proper places and use them as instructed by Shastra and Guru. Prabhupada talks in the purport about the abundance of milk products. This can be generalized, that those who are completely dependent on Krishna have everything they might want and need. The Upanishads describe the personality or the absolute truth as being the maintainer of all living beings. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam eko bahu nam yo vididati kamad. God is also a person like us. We're eternal, he's eternal. We are conscious living beings, he's another conscious living being. But there's a big difference. He, only one, is able to maintain all the rest of them. None of us can presume that capability. You can call yourself God if you can maintain everybody else. If you can't even maintain your wife and children, then you can't call yourself God. If you can't even maintain your own body properly and keep your own mind in order, you can't even control your own senses, how can you call yourself God? God controls himself. He's always danta, shanta, peaceful and self-controlled. He's never unruly. He's never out of control. He's always a gentleman, Krishna, in all his appearances. You may think that Krishna gets wild and he breaks the rules, but he's always a gentleman. Even when he's slaughtering demons, even when he's dancing with other men's wife, he's always a gentleman. He can control himself, and he maintains and controls everybody else. Eko, maybe the fan, you turned the fan down intentionally?
It's electricity.
Oh, that's low, okay. That was getting a little stuffy. Eko bahu nam yo vididati kaman. What is said in that statement of this, I think, Svetashvatara Upanishad. No, turn the regulator a little bit up, yeah. Yeah, but we can turn the regulator up, yeah. One who provides the kamas or desires of everybody else. That means what everybody wants. Not only what you barely need, the bare necessities of life. You may be living in a prison or going to school, which is equivalent to a prison, or working in a job, which is equivalent to a prison. And you're provided the bare necessities of life. You know, they pay you something. They don't pay you to go to school, but you get fed, you get clothing on your back. You're maintained. Even in the convicted criminals living in the prison, unless it's a very cruel prison, they get fed something. They have some sort of clothes to wear. They got some place to sleep. Bare necessities are provided. But we're talking about not just provision of bare necessities. God is the maintainer of every single living creature. Some of them according to their karma, not according to the whim, the callous whim of God, but according to their own, the karma they've created for themselves, by their own good or bad actions in the past. Everyone is living under different conditions. Some have opulent facilities for enjoyment and are very powerful. Others are struggling just to survive and are living in niggardly, miserable existences. Sometimes tormented, sometimes sick, sometimes oppressed by other living entities who are attacking them, sometimes in immediate threat of their lives, just barely struggling to survive and sometimes not surviving and dying. We're living under many different conditions. Some are fortunate and happy, some miserable. But it is eko bhunam yo vididati kama. There's one living entity who's providing, first of all, the bare necessities of life for everyone. Whether it's comfortable or uncomfortable, everyone who manages to live from one day to the next is eating something. Else he doesn't. If he goes long enough without eating, he dies. So everyone who's surviving is eating, is sleeping somewhere, is wearing some sort of clothing. This is provided by God. Bare minimum necessities for everyone. Even those who are sinful, those who are his enemies, who hate him, he provides for them also. This, we can say, is the great mercy of God, that he doesn't refuse to provide at least minimal necessities of life, even for those who are directly opposed to him or want to forget him. He still takes care. We forget him. He never forgets us. We may become envious of him, but he doesn't become envious of us. He still provides provides what's needed. This is called sthanam. This is one of the major topics of Srimad Bhagavatam. General maintenance. How God is providing according to karma. He gives something to everybody. What in particular you get depends on your individual karma, not on the whim of God, and not on fickle fate or just chance. It is what the enjoyment or suffering we're getting is according to what we have done ourselves, whether we've been good or bad. And Krishna is the source of all those necessities of life. That is described as sthanam, or the maintenance of everybody. But beyond that, those who have some personal relationship with Krishna, some favorable personal connection, of one kind or another, to one degree, some revival of a personal relationship with Krishna, something beyond the material condition of complete forgetfulness, some inkling of remembrance of Krishna. For those, Krishna provides more than the bare necessities. This is under a separate topic in the Bhagavatam, Poshanam. Special maintenance of the devotees, special protection to the devotees. Sthanam and Poshanam are two separate topics. Poshanam is how Krishna takes care of his devotees. Naham, samoham sarva bhuteshu name dveshyo sti na priyaha. I am equal to everyone. I don't have anybody, I don't consider anybody my friend or my enemy. I'm not impartial. I'm not biased. I am impartial. I'm not partial. I'm not biased. Krishna claims. But we may argue, but we see Krishna favoring someone more than someone else. Someone he's killing, and someone he's treating in a very intimate, friendly way. How can you say he's impartial? But Krishna can claim that. He explains, Ye bhajanti tu mam bhaktiya. Those who worship me with love, there is an intimate bond. I am within them and they are within me. Everyone, according to how they think and act toward me, I think and act accordingly, reciprocally. So those who are devoted to Krishna, being impartial, just reacts to the equal proportion of being devoted to them. It's just fair. If someone sacrifices many things for Krishna's pleasure, shouldn't Krishna, to be fair, reciprocate in kind and go out of his way to take care of his devotee? That's not partiality. That's simply giving everybody what they gave him. So Krishna says, yes, I don't have any friends or enemies, but those who show loving devotion to me, I make sure that they're taken care of very nicely. Anandas chintayanto mam yejana paryupasate tesham nityabhi yuktanam yoga kshemam vahamyaham. For those who always think about me, even if they don't do anything, they're just thinking. Krishna is satisfied with that. In fact, that's the more important thing to Krishna. Everyone's working for him. Everyone's his slave. Like bulls tied to a grinding mill, walking around in a circle. They have no choice. They're working involuntarily. And everybody is involuntarily working for Krishna. But when someone thinks favorably about Krishna and thinks that what I'm doing, I'm trying to do for Krishna's pleasure, when he thinks like that, that makes a difference to Krishna. And those who think about him in this way constantly, that Krishna is my best friend, Krishna is my Lord, I should be trying to please him. Those who can think like that all the time, yejana payupasate, this is what Krishna accepts as real worship. Payupasanam. Tesham nitya abhiyuktanam. They're always fixed in my service, never deviating, never going out of focus, always focused in attention to my service. I provide yoga and kshema. Kshema, they're sometimes just translated as life insurance. Insurance and the securities. And the Life Insurance Company of India has adopted that slogan, yoga kshemam vahamyaham, right out of the Gita. But that's explained properly. Prabhupada explains it to us. I provide everything my devotees need, and I protect what they have protect them from losing what they have. Materialistic people have these anxieties. How will they acquire what they think they need? And how will they protect what they have from predators, or from the government taking taxes, or from the bad weather? How will I insure my company against hurricanes and other natural disasters? How will I make sure that my business is not ruined because of losses? Security, to preserve what you have. But Krishna arranges this for his devotees. This is the, we can say, paradox, the mystery. The more you don't care about taking care of yourself, the more Krishna takes care of you. This is the secret. And if we're trying still to take care of ourselves, we shouldn't expect that Krishna is going to be ready to take full care of us. He'll give us what we need, but he won't go too much out of the way until we show that we're ready to go out of the way for him. Materialist is making plans constantly how to take care of himself and those few people who he considers dependent on him, his family or friends or dependents. He's thinking about himself and a few other people and making plans constantly, the materialist, how to acquire and protect. But a devotee gives that up. He should give that up. Don't worry about how you'll acquire the things you think you need. Your ideas about what you need is all something that's been put in your head by false propaganda anyway. Either you saw it on television or in a newspaper that you need such and such a thing. People spend billions of dollars producing advertisement to convince you you need things you don't need. And even apart from that, from the artificial human advertising business, Maya has her advertising business, which is even more expert. You think you need,
a member of the opposite sex to complete your life. So, okay, this illusion is there. And, of course, when you get one of those, you get a wife or a husband, then you need a lot more things. All of a sudden, when you could before carry everything you have in a small carry suitcase, carry-on bag, now you need a truckload. You know, that's when you begin your household. And by the time you've been living here for 10 years, it would take a caravan to move everything you have. And you've been convinced by Maya that you need all these things to maintain your life. But this is all false propaganda. It has been planted in our brains that we think we need many things. A devotee should try to simplify his life and understand he doesn't need so much. What is my real purpose in life? I'm making money to acquire things. But why am I acquiring things? Why do I have to do this? What is my real purpose of life? A devotee has to think like that and straighten out his life. And then when we get to the point, or not just when we get to the final point, but to the degree that we give up selfishness, worry about yoga and kshema, and simply think about Krishna. There's a cloud of dust around our heads, a cloud of selfish thought, worries, calculations about who's my friend, who's my enemy, where's my profit, where's my loss. And many of us are completely bewildered by this cloud of thoughts to different degrees. We have to let that cloud of thoughts dissipate and instead think about Krishna. Because he'll take care of us anyway. We don't have to worry to take care of ourselves so much. The more we give up the selfish concern for how we'll acquire and protect, and just be Krishna's devotees, the more Krishna will take care of us. And we see the Vrijvasis described here. All they care about is Krishna and making Krishna happy. And Krishna arranges that they have so much of everything that they can just throw it around without restriction. Pour it down each other's backs. Don't think that Vrajadhamma is a poor place, even in comparison to Vaikuntha. Tomorrow is Vaikuntha Ekadasi, right? Yes. Okay, last day to get, to sneak in the gates of Vaikuntha. Think about it. Where would you rather be? In Vaikuntha or Vrajadhamma? You may think, you take the train ride from Delhi, you're on your way to Agra and you'd pass through Vrajadhamma. All you see is what's practically a wasteland. They grow some mustards and maybe a little bit of wheat, and there's a lot of thorn trees and roads and buildings that people, a pile of bricks that people have erected. Not much else. It doesn't look very opulent. Now, you're told that Krishna was playing here 5,000 years ago, and it used to be the most opulent place in the world, but even, especially if you look at Mathura City, it's hard to understand how it was. But the fact is that this dham, Vrajadhamma, is much more opulent than Vaikuntha. The southern sky has less stars than the northern sky. There are about 7,000 visible stars altogether, but more than half of them are in the northern sky. Quite a bit less than half of them are in the southern sky. So if you're living, if you're in the southern hemisphere in the spring, then the southern sky is going to be... Anyway, if you're in a place where the northern sky is visible during the day, then most of the stars you won't see. You'll only see the smaller number of stars at night. You don't see those stars during the day. There may be more stars in the sky during the day,
Because the northern hemisphere is visible maybe in the day, and the southern during the night. There may be more stars during the day, but you don't see them. You don't see any of them, because they're eclipsed by the sunlight. They're there. There's more stars, but you don't see them. You see less stars in the night, but you see them. Like that, there's less opulence in Vaikuntha. But because it's Aishwarya Pradhan place, where opulence is more prominent, you see it. And in Vrajadham, where the Madhurya is more prominent, the Aishwarya is eclipsed. You don't see it. But there's more of it. They have more of everything, even in comparison to Vaikuntha. They're living richer. The palace of Nanda Maharaj is better than the palace of all the Vaikuntha Vasis. Richer and more opulently furnished. But the attention of the devotees is not on it. They've got so much assets, but they just throw it around unrestrictedly. They don't hoard it. They're not even interested in the opulence. So a devotee who is so surrendered to Krishna that he's not interested in acquiring anything for himself, Krishna arranges that he gets the most. We should understand this calculation. Don't misuse it. Not that I want the most, therefore I'll pretend that I want the least. You won't end up getting the most. You try to cheat Krishna, Krishna will cheat you. But if you're honest and actually understand, what do I need these opulences? Krishna will give me, first of all, no matter what I am, even if I become a demon, Krishna will give me the basic necessities. And if I'm his loving devotee, he'll give me more than I could ever imagine. What do I need to worry about acquiring things and preserving them for myself? Let me acquire some things for Krishna in his service. If I got this acquisitional nature, I'm a businessman. Let me do business for Krishna then. And forget about making money for myself. Or whatever I do. Forget about doing it for yourself and do it for Krishna. Then you'll be successful and you'll end up with much more than you could even imagine you ever wanted. Hare Krishna. Yes, ma'am.
You told that the Bhagavad Gita Lord says, Vijaya Dhamma Prasadam Kirtan Katriva Bhajama.
Yes.
This first is the surrender, Dhamma Prasadam. For the demons, they do not surrender. But how the Lord gives him the liberation, like Sisupal, Dhamparipa, and others?
They're surrendering their attention. What Krishna, like I was discussing, the thing that Krishna wants most of us, not our money, not even our work, he wants our attention. Of course, more than that, he wants love. But if you can't have pure love, at least if you think about him, Krishna appreciates that. Krishna accepts as a substantial offering the thought, the obsession that the demons have with him. They're thinking of him all the time. They hate him. Kamsa hated Krishna, but he thought about Krishna all the time. Krishna, that pleased Krishna. Krishna gave him the liberation that Kamsa got because Kamsa was thinking about Krishna all the time, even in hatred. If he had loved Krishna, that would have been better. But even hating Krishna and thinking about him, Krishna will give you liberation. Because that's an offering. You're offering your mind and intelligence to Krishna. Especially if you're going to give Krishna a good fight, and Krishna enjoys that. He's giving, Kamsa gave pleasure to Krishna, so Krishna awarded him.
What is the secret? Actually, you know that Sat Krishna Nama Navhude Trahya Indri.
Yes.
In the contemplative state, we cannot serve Krishna.
Yes.
But in our contemplative consciousness and intelligence,
yes.
Then how we can.
By serving someone whose senses and mind are less contaminated than yours. By serving advanced devotees, they help us get a chance to connect with the service of Krishna. You offer something to the Vaishnava, he will offer it to Krishna. Just like we want to offer something in sacrifice. You have to perform the, what do we call it, the offering of milk, pravargya offering. All yagyas include pravargya, offering of warm milk, even the simplest Agnihotra sacrifice and the most complicated Soma sacrifice. Pravargya, offering of warm milk to Indra in the morning, to fire, Soma, and the moon, I think, the moon and the fire at night at sunset. Every day the Brahmins have to do the Agnihotra, and they have to offer the Pravargya. And if you want to perform a very complicated Soma sacrifice, there's also Pravargya included. But they pour, they have a... well, that's ghee. Anyway, they make a complicated offering of milk. You need a pot to offer the milk in. But that pot has to be sanctified. I have to go to the pot maker, who's a Shudra, and buy the pot. Or I commission him to make a special pot, you know, a special shape for the sacrifice. But it's a Shudra. He's contaminated. The pot he made is contaminated. So I have to do achama, sprinkle the pot, and chant mantra. You are the womb of Aditi. You are the womb of the earth. I'm talking to the pot. Sanctifying it and sprinkling water on it to purify it. It's dirty. It came from a dirty man, this clay pot. But by my mantras and by my achaman, it becomes purified. So, similarly to that offering of a contaminated item, when it's the mantras are chanted by the Advaryu priest, that's his job, to take the material things and purify them for sacrifice, to transform the material things into transcendental things by his mantras. Similarly, you can give your material activities as a service, an offering to a Vaishnava, and he can give it to Krishna and transform it into devotional service. We have contaminated propensities, and everything we do is somewhat wrong, and everything we think is somewhat wrong, but when we offer what we think and what we do to the pure devotees, they transform it, and it becomes offerable to Krishna. Like the Advaryu priest, chanting his magic formulas to turn ordinary clay pot into a sacrificial item. You know, we can be transformed by the blessings of the Vaishnavas, but the blessings come not by going up to somebody, grabbing his feet and demanding blessings, extortion like that. It comes when you do some service, then you get real blessings. Yeah.
You told that in the Vrindavan there is so much opulence than Vaikuntha.
Yes.
So, Sukhti Gosani, Ashtakamati, Kujjat Kokra, Hamsa Sahara, Sagana, Kirna, Mayuratu, Nana Rasmi, Nidhar, Dhamala, Vikar, Sri Vikar, Vindavan.
Yes.
This opulence?
Yes, that kind of opulence too. Jewels, you know, jewels are rare in the material world. A rich man might have one jewel, one big jewel. But in the spiritual world, the ordinary houses are covered not just with mud, not just with paint, but with jewels. Jewels that you don't find in the material world. Even the richest man doesn't have such jewels. It's common, these kinds of opulence, and even that kind of opulence. Money and, you know, things that are considered very precious and valuable in the material world, they're there in the spiritual world. And they're even more there in Vrajadam. But it's not like, oh my God, there's jewels on that house, and everybody goes looting, you know, pulling off the jewels. Just like Taj Mahal used to be covered with jewels, it's not anymore. They've all been pulled out by greedy people. But nobody's greedy in Vrajadam. Even though the houses are covered with jewels, nobody's thinking to steal them. They don't need to. Their own houses are covered with jewels also. There's opulence, but there's no greed. No selfishness. Okay, anything else? Okay, thank you all. Glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.